northeastern abutment that you can see a little bit of reinforcing steel and concrete spalling. We recommend to clean those up and patch with a non-shrink grout, and then we would spray down the whole bridge with a concrete sealing agent. That would just help to, once all the repairs are done, that would just help to keep it all in good condition for longer term. Now, if you are to add this bridge onto your registry, MoDOT will inspect it. I highly anticipate that MoDOT will find it below 50% sufficiency rating. It's 20 foot wide. It's a little narrower than what they like. There are some minor cracks. None of them are overly concerning, considering that there's 14,000 other bridges in Missouri that rank as less than 50% rating. They tend to be pretty hard on these older bridges like this, but I would say with confidence that with the maintenance, this bridge could easily last another 10, 20 years without major issues. I don't see anything that was concerning underneath it. There's a handful of small things, and if you went just perfectly by the book, it's going to score below 50%. But at the same time, it's not in bad shape at all. It's in surprisingly good shape. Devin and I both agreed, and Spencer, I had him kind of review some of the stuff, and he's familiar with this bridge. We've all three made the comment, we'd much rather have this bridge than the truss bridge that the highway's on now. This bridge is in just as good or better shape than any of those truss bridges.
You'd rather have the Shadow Rock Bridge.
Yeah, it's in better shape, as good or better shape than the other one.
What about a weight limit?
That's really entirely up to you on a weight limit. Right now, MoDOT may inspect it and put a weight limit. Weight limits aren't bad, even if they're not necessarily needed, just to make sure that a bridge doesn't get overloaded. That said, you have a little bit of what's a theoretical loading that it would see anyways, because it's not a primary three route. You're just going to be going to the park, so it's going to be pretty limited on your truck traffic to even get there. Is the first aspect, and the secondary aspect is, are people going to abide by it once they got there anyways? If you'd like to put, a 10-ton weight limit or something, there's nothing wrong with that. Even if you had a brand-new bridge, you put a weight limit on it, it's just going to keep it from seeing heavy loads, hopefully, and not wear it out. But at the same time, there's nothing that indicated it's in bad enough shape to really need a weight limit, and or it's going to have a lot of truck traffic or anything like that, like it would if it was a through route to, say, a timber area or a scrapyard or something where you'd see a lot of heavy loads just over and over again. It was pretty heavily trafficked while we were there. There was a lot of car vehicular traffic, and there were some bike riders on it, so it seems to be an important part of the system for the people around there. They were all using it. Like I said, it's got some minor stuff there, but overall it's in great shape for as old as it is. It's an old bridge. It's going to have some issues. It's like an old building.
It appears that MoDOC is who designed the bridge and had it, because it was...
Correct.
It was the main bridge. They designed it. They put it out for bid, mm-hmm. and chose the bidder.
Yep. And then in the 1950s, they built the truss up there above it and did away and made this bridge obsolete for their system and turned it over, I think, to the Army Corps at that point in time.
They did at that point when they did the Bull Shoals project.
And then the truss bridge became the highway bridge, and it was like 53 or 54 or something like that.
Is that the paperwork behind this picture?
Part of it.
Part of it.
I think it's 1952,
by the way. I've been in contact again today, this morning, with MoDOT, a different person trying to come up with the paperwork on it. I think this person may actually be able to do that, come up with the plans and ownership of it. If you all decide to take it, then that way we can get, I'll talk to Travis about it. He can make that happen if you all decide to.
Now, pre-1930s, it seems to be a little hit and miss on what got engineered and what got kind of, that should work. The MoDOT switched over, I think it was in the 20s or 30s, to where everything had to be engineered as far as a bridge goes. And a bridge of this size, they should have engineering plans on. But some of the smaller stuff from back in the 20s and 30s weren't necessarily engineered either. These open spandrel arches, I can assure you that there should be a set of plans somewhere in MoDOT's archives for these things. These were very popular at the time period. They built a number of them on 65. Obviously, there's one in Branson. They're they're getting far and few in between as far as the historical aspects. It's hit and miss. If you ever wanted to rehab it or do any upgrades to it for the historical aspects of it, sometimes there's funding available for that. Sometimes there's not. It's very erratic or sporadic would be a way to do that. Also, you might be able to make the argument because of the Shadow Rock Trail that exists through there, if you ever wanted to try to get some TAP funds or Transportation Alternative Project funds, which are not really to pay for roads and bridges, they're to pay for pedestrian aspects, you could say that it's part of our trail system, and you would want to have connectivity to Shadow Rock Park from Shadow Rock Trail without having to get out onto the highway or anything like that. So it would be basically a bike-laned bridge, and you might be able to get some money for that. That comes out every 2 years, and it varies between about $250,000 to $500,000 projects. So it should be eligible for that. Additionally, it would affect your BRO funding depending upon how it is classified. If it's classified with anything as deficient, then it would go onto your BRO funding as that, and it would raise your BRO funding by whatever that square footage of deficient deck is versus what their allotment is. A side note, under the new highway transportation bill, your BRO funding in general is going to go up about 33%. Regardless of this bridge, just there's more funds available.
It seemed like it was unclear whether when the Corps did the relocation on the roads, when they did everything, they note where that road that Taney County owns or is takes over the road that joins the bridge and everything, but it just seems unclear actually in what they did with the bridge, because the Corps say that they do not do bridges. The Corps sent a document saying they do not do bridges, and they didn't find that they were actually the owner of it.
Talking with the Corps, they thought back at that time when they built the new one that old bridge automatically went into the county system.
Uh-huh.
And it got overlooked and did not.
And the Army Corps, I mean, they can say we're not in the bridge business, but my first boss at Great River was Dave Jarvis, and Dave was a really great bridge engineer. He is now in charge of their bridge inspections for the Army Corps of Engineers and inspects their bridges that they own on their lakes. And so that they own quite a few, actually. They've got a big team that goes around the nation to inspect them.
What's the dam?
Most of the dams actually have a bridge on them as well.
I'm just curious. I didn't know how that worked.
Yeah, over the spillways. As long as it's opening 20 feet, it classifies as a bridge. And so they're under the same guidelines for Federal Highway that MoDOT is. So they have to do their own inspections.
They do their own maintenance, too.
Yep.
It was interesting that it shows that bridge was built with Swan Creek gravel.
Yeah. On the deck, if you walk it, you can really see that. You can see where some of the creek gravel, you know, kind of comes up through those older style bridges. You can see that in. You don't. The newer stuff we use crushed limestone, so it's all white if it were to be exposed. But it's pretty cool to see that historic aspect. And a lot of the bridges that were built in the 20s and 30s, especially if it was anything to do with the Great Depression, you see a lot of that creek gravel in there. It held up really well. It's kind of interesting how well the creek gravel holds up over time versus crushed limestone. In theory, you get a better adhesion to crushed limestone, and you get better aggregate interlock, and you get a better concrete, in theory. But, you know, the old-timers, I've had a lot of them tell me that in milking barns and stuff like that, the creek gravel concrete seemed to last a lot longer just due to it wasn't as reactive to different materials, salts or you know, waste in their aspect, but that the creek gravel would actually hold up better over time because it wasn't as reactive. So it's kind of interesting. It has a really cool look to it up close. That's going to be one of the challenges if they go to patch or fix any of those spots is you can do it, but they'll have to do a couple test pieces and mix in some sand or some creek gravel and do a little bit of washing.
Swan Creek still has some creek gravel in it.
But to keep it looking so it doesn't look like a perfectly white patch in the middle of the cool bridge, that will be a little bit of a challenge aesthetically, but it's doable.
Ms. Robertson, were you just here for information, or did you need?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here to listen.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to.
Did found it.
Park floods, we can take fire trucks down there and clean out all the grease.
Thank you. Well, so we're here right now just for the inspection report?
Correct. Correct. Just to bring you up to speed.
I don't have any further questions. I don't know if anybody else does.
On the creek, Gabriel, I found it interesting after doing a little research on this bridge and the how strong it was and what it was built out of. When we had the company drill the, it's called pipe, the holes on the cheese plant bridge, their bed, and they started and they drilled and they broke it. They went down in, and our guys just really impressed me how they worked and worked to dig that out. And the owner, the supervisor of that company, made the statement if they would tell me I was going to drill into the gravel to the base, I would have had to brought a different bit because it is always harder than the normal thing.
Yeah,
that they drill into.
You know, we've got obviously gravel issues at different spots throughout the county, but we are blessed. Whereas in North Missouri, they don't have hardly any gravel at all, and so we've got kind of an abundance of good quality rock that's right below the surface. So that's why there's so many more rock quarries down here that are successful than in North Missouri. So it's got its positives and its drawbacks, but we're doing some bridges in Harrison County, Missouri, and it's 275 feet to find any rock at all. So.
I don't know if I'm appropriate on this, but partly the reason the city being here is, do you have a bill for the inspection of the bridge?
Yeah. So originally I had told Devin it was probably going to be around the $4,000, but we did a not to exceed, and finishing it up, it'll be around the $3,000 is what it actually came in at. So it'll be whatever the hours work out, but it'll be right around that $3,000. I can't remember the exact dollar and cents number, but so it came in a little bit under budget for that. So I think that it's my understanding you guys are going to split the cost, so it'll be about half of around $3,000.
So
95-10. Where's that extra 5% go?
Yeah.
I like my memory's a little better than Mr. Robertson's.
Yeah, that's good.
So, do you have a date when you'll present us with the bill so that we can give it to the city?
Yeah, we'll run our invoicing. It's either this week or next. We'll run our invoicing. I'll send it. I'll put a flag on it for Devin to be able to see that. So that way it stands out from the other ones or something. Which Devin's really good at reviewing the invoices and stuff. If there is any issues, he usually catches it long before it gets in front of the commission.
For a number of years, the Forsyth Chamber, along with the city, have used that bridge, showing it as these are many years apart, that they send out all over the state advertising.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you've not been on it, I suggest you go down there and walk it. The fishing platforms, all that stuff, make it very unique. They spent a lot of time building that, a lot of labor building that we just don't do anymore. Everything looks very Unitarian anymore, and it's a cool structure. It really is.
It's always amazed me over the years how structures built, I'm talking about ancient years ago, how men without any equipment or anything built such sound structures and everything that seemed to last longer than
we
build now.
My only comment on that is there's a lot of Warsaw's got one and Miller County has one still, but there are suspension bridges in Missouri. There's a guy named Joseph Dice that built all those. They're the Joe Dice bridges. And if you read about Joe, he was never an engineer. He never used any plans at all, but he was an engineer and surveyor in his head. So he would memorize everything, and he would lay out everything, and they would do these suspension bridges over Truman Lake or over different rivers. But whenever MoDOT started requiring plans, he got mad, and he quit, and he retired. What's interesting about that is a lot of people go, oh, yeah, you know, these old bridges are wonderful, and these old bridges, they really held up. But if you actually read about the Joe Dice bridges, Joe built about four times as many bridges as he did at locations. And so what he would do is they would fall, And he would go, well, we used 13 strands that time. Let's use 15 this time and see what happens.